Big thank you to our Patreon supporters, Haley K., Claire G., Nick Haynes of the Sketchy Nonsense Podcast, and Mina K. If you would like to support the show and get your name read at the beginning of every episode, head over to patreon.com/topropechef. Thanks.
We're cooking up some recipes, gonna give them a spin. If you're messing with Top Rope Chefs, you can never win. We'll be leaving you in the kitchen, wishing you were beaten, battered, and fried. And we'll be cooking up some main dishes to search and yummy things on the side. Can you take the heat? 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 Can you take the heat?
Top Rope Chef.
Welcome to Top Rope Chef, the podcast about food and wrestling. We are cooking through WWE's cookbook, Can You Take the Heat? By written by Jim Ross, one recipe at a time, one wrestler at a time. I am one of your hosts, Bradley, the Big Sneezy Jones, with me as always.
Jacqueline, Corporal Queens Maynard. How are you doing, Brad?
I am getting over a cold. I might be a little nasally in this episode.
You're going to work that into your character?
Yeah, he's just going to like sneeze on you as like a distraction or something.
Ooh, yeah, and then they can play that up in the storylines following. Mm-hmm.
I sneeze into like a hanky and like stuff it into my shorts and like later like throw it at you or something. It'd be gross.
You should just sneeze into the hanky and then shove it in somebody's mouth.
Oh, that's disgusting. I love it.
Yeah.
It's kind of in line with one of the wrestlers today, too.
Oh? I didn't do any prep for the show.
Excellent.
It's all a surprise to me today.
Well, hopefully the recipes aren't a surprise. And the drink you have in front of you isn't a surprise. What are you drinking today, Jacqueline?
I'm drinking something that actually sounds like it would benefit you. It is called, it's by St. Ambrose, draft-style mead. It's the John Lemon variety. Well, nice little pun.
I was hoping NyQuil had gotten into the cider game.
We're not going to play that. Are we in high school?
No, it's like a brand.
Trip on NyQuil.
Mm-hmm.
All that's in this is water, honey, and lemons.
That sounds like my tea I've been drinking the last 3 days.
I bet. Well, this has alcohol. It's fermented honey. But yeah. It says, John Lemon is an effervescent, refreshing, and downright delicious sweet treat that features our own Michigan star thistle honey and fresh lemons. Kick back in the hammock and enjoy.
Great bottle.
I know. Isn't that great? Wow. Ooh.
Lemony. Mm.
It's really sweet, but really lemony.
I like lemon a lot.
Has like an aftertaste of beer. I think I really like this. I'm going to put it on some ice. What are you drinking, Brad?
Well, as usual, if we have a drink recipe, I usually end up just doing the drink recipe. Also, I've been on cold medicine and can't drink anything alcoholic because I like my liver. Hmm. So I just have one of the recipes today, Sergeant Slaughter's Reveille Coffee.
Now, what is that? Why don't you describe for our listeners the coffee mug I'm seeing right now?
It's a mug that my mom was going to throw away. It is something I believe my brother got in a loot box many, many years ago.
In a what box?
A loot box. I'm not going to promote it and go into it. One of those things you pay $20 a month and get.
Yeah, that's not the word I thought you said.
Okay, moving on. I don't know what word it is. Leave that up to the viewer to decide. But it is Carnage. Maybe this podcast is a tie-in with the Venom movie that just came out. Who knows?
It's not.
Probably on DVD by the time you hear this.
I really hope it's not a tie-in.
You don't want to be tied in with the Venom movie?
Absolutely not. I have self-respect.
What?
No, I don't.
What? All of this seems wrong today. You are just all about that queen life. This is my first coffee in 3 days. I've just been drinking nothing but tea.
First coffee at 8 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm. I might not drink the whole thing. Save it and cook it tomorrow. Because I'm that kind of person who doesn't care if his coffee is fresh. Put it in the fridge and drink it tomorrow. Heat it up again. I don't care. Whatevs.
Ooh. You're like my dad.
I know. It doesn't matter.
You're like everybody's dad.
I want to be a dad one day. It'll be fun. And I will force my child into professional wrestling.
Yeah, let's have both of our children. They could be a tag team. What a storyline!
That would be great, honestly.
I know. It'd be like a generational wrestling thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into one of the recipes today, Jacqueline. Let's talk about the Brooklyn Brawler first.
Let's. Please teach me about the Brooklyn Brawler, Brad.
The Brooklyn Brawler is a jobber. He is one of the most notorious jobbers of all professional wrestling, because he's been around at least since the 80s, I'd have to imagine. So if you didn't know already, WWE really existed only in the Northeast territories, was what they were called back in the day in the wrestling world. And, of course, one of their biggest markets was New York. They still like play Madison Square Garden and sell out and have big events. And one of the guys, a local guy named the Brooklyn Brawler, came out, and even though he loses all the time, he still gets cheered because he's the local competitor up in that New York market.
That's also a great name. I mean, it's just a great character. His outfit is pretty sweet, though. It's just a New York Yankee shirt that's all, like, ripped up and torn. He just looks like a guy who went to a sporting event that didn't turn out right, and he just wants to fight everybody on the streets.
He's been around a lot of different wrestling federations under different names, but he was just always what's called a jobber. What's more friendly term is a enhancement talent, is what's the cute way of saying that. Someone who you do your special moves to and makes you look better.
That's like when people call like custodians and janitors environmental engineers.
You're not that wrong at all. He still wrestles today. He'll still show up at events.
What?
He'll pop up in a Royal Rumble. When they're in Madison Square Garden, he'll come by and he'll, you know, get a cheap pop from the crowd being a New York guy. He's almost the equivalent of a sports mascot, I would say. He was always wearing like a really dirty shirt, usually with some sort of sports, New York sports team, usually baseball. But it was always like ripped up, like he had just gotten in a fight. And he was like the general local sports dude who was at a bar in New York in the 80s and the 90s, left the bar, came into the wrestling ring, and had a match.
I like his pose, just hands on hips, staring straight at the camera.
He's very serious in this photograph.
He is.
Longtime talent. Nothing but good things I've ever heard about him. I did wish I would have done a little bit more research on him, but that's okay.
I wish I would have done any at all. But it's fun to be in this position where I don't know anything.
Well, you probably know what this recipe tastes like, so without further ado, let's get into it.
Let's.
The Brooklyn Brawler's Artichoke Chicken, in memory of Louis Dondero.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Wait, probably should have looked up.
Ball dropped. This is the theme of this podcast. Kimchi, Knuckleball Schwartz, Doink. All have been Federation vet Steam Lombardi's aliases over the past 15 years. He's seen it all and probably should write a book. It would be a riot and perhaps cause a few divorces. Steve still wrestles on occasion and provides valuable support behind the scenes. Much to the Big Apple's chagrin, the Brawler now lives in Detroit. But this recipe was created by Steve's Italian granny in Brooklyn. The ingredients to this recipe are 4 chicken breasts cut into strips, garlic salt to taste, flour, 4 jars of artichoke hearts, 2 teaspoons olive oil, 1/2 cup white wine, 1 onion peeled and chopped. There are 7 steps to this recipe. Step 1, preheat the oven to 300 degrees. Step 2, sprinkle the chicken strips with garlic salt on both sides and roll them in flour. Step 3, drain the oil from the artichoke hearts and set both aside. Step 4, heat the olive oil in a frying pan and add 1/3 of the artichoke oil you've set aside. When hot, add 1/4 cup of the white wine. Step 5, lay in 1/2 of the chicken pieces. Cook over low heat on all sides until the flour cooks into the chicken, but don't brown the chicken. Pour the contents of this frying pan into a roasting pan. Step 6. Repeat steps 4 and 5 with the next batch of chicken. Step 7. Add the artichoke hearts and the onion to the roasting pan and cook for 30 minutes, stirring every 10 minutes. Serve over rice makes 4 servings. Jacqueline, what do you think of the Brooklyn Brawler's artichoke chicken?
I fucking loved it. It was really good.
Wow.
I added mushrooms, which is a good call there. Used, what did I use? Gluten-free flour? Oh, no, I used paleo flour, which is almond meal.
Made of dinosaurs, I think.
Yeah, dinosaurs, almond meal, and coconut flour.
Big sneezy.
Leave that one in.
Big sneezy. Jacqueline, did you follow every single step to this recipe?
I absolutely did. I followed it to the letter.
Wow. Yeah. I gave up at step 7.
Why?
Because I thought the stuff was already cooked.
Oh, did you get food poisoning?
I didn't.
Damn it. I mean, that's good.
I did get a tummy ache, though. So, I don't understand. It feels like it wants me to cook chicken twice. Put chicken in a pan and brown it and cook it. And then put it in the oven to finish it off. Why don't I just finish it off in the pan that I'm already cooking it in?
Because then you get the... Okay, I watched them do this in the kitchen.
Ooh, here we go.
You put the flour on it, and then you cook it so the flour like sticks to the sides, to the edges of the chicken. You just get it started, and then you finish it in the oven, because then all the juices come out in that roasting pan, and everything kind of zhuzhes all together. Is the best answer I've gotten about why. But that's just how you cook this kind of a thing.
Yep. Did you make 4 chicken breasts worth of food?
No. I did 2. Because I wasn't sure how this was going to turn out.
I did one.
Yeah, so it's 4 4-ounce jars of artichoke hearts.
Those are expensive.
Yeah, I thought they meant the can. So I bought 4 cans.
Oh, boy. I didn't use white wine because I don't have it in the house. I instead use sake, which I do have in the house. It was great. Yeah, I just kind of wanted it to be stir-fry, and it's like not quite stir-fry. But it is stir-fry if you do it the way I made it. I mean, it would have been just better in a stir-fry pan to me.
I don't think so. I disagree.
The roasting pan, huh?
Roasting pan. I got this, what's that called? Like, black? and heavy? Real heavy.
Cast iron?
There we go. I have a cast iron roasting pan, and that was really nice and delicious to cook everything in. And I did have it over rice. I think it would be good over, like, noodles. You could have it with pasta, or you could also have it with mashed potatoes.
On the side of this, I had some leftover cabbage that I had to get rid of, so I just used that in the pan that was like cooking the chicken in, because I already had oil and chicken stuff in it already. So I just put a bunch of cabbage in there and some onions and garlic and a bunch of lemon, and just ate like this delicious cabbage on the side of this.
So did you not cook the chicken all the way? Is that...
I had to go back and cook the chicken.
Okay.
I went back and I cooked the chicken.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was very tough. It was hard to eat. It was like jerky almost for mine.
Mine was just falling apart. Oh, I did make another substitution. I used chicken thighs instead of chicken breasts. Because they just taste better.
And they're cheaper.
That was probably more the reason. But
I like the chicken thigh because it has that bone in it. And if you're like crock-potting some chicken soup or something, you can just leave that bone in there and shred off the chicken. It's great. And maybe I'll go back and do it, but I just really didn't have the heart to cook something that I already felt was, like, already kind of cooked. It just felt like I was already cooking the chicken, and I stopped cooking the chicken to cook the chicken.
It's different techniques. It does different things to the meats.
So, Jacqueline, what do you rate the Brooklyn Brawler's artichoke chicken?
4.8 stars.
I give the Brooklyn Brawler's artichoke chicken 3 stars.
Is it in the Hall of Fame, though?
Incorrect. No.
I'll never get this rating system figured out.
Well, we just add them up and divide by 2, Jacqueline.
I know, but what is in the Hall of Fame?
4. 4 and above.
So close.
Sorry, Brooklyn Brawler's chicken. Maybe I'll amend my rating once I taste it the way Chaplin made it. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll be talking about two recipes from Sergeant Slaughter. We're going to be talking about coffee and some Mexican mess hall dip.
And what? Back talking about Sergeant Slaughter and his recipes in this cookbook. Brad, get into it.
Sergeant Slaughter's Reveille Coffee. Sarge received so much heat when his TV persona turned his back on his country that the Minnesota native actually received death threats. That's probably taking the sports a little too seriously, folks. Sarge is serious about coffee, and he often serves this specialty to house guests. The ingredients to this coffee: ground coffee to taste, ground cinnamon to taste, sugar to taste, milk cream or flavored coffee creamer to taste. Step one. Rise and shine, you sleepyheads! Turn! Hut! Step two. Okay, at ease and listen up. When preparing your morning coffee, just add ground cinnamon to the top of the coffee grounds before you start your percolator, coffee maker, or coffee brewer. Add 1 teaspoon ground cinnamon for every 2 cups coffee you're making. Step three. Have I made myself clear? I can hear you. Good. Then carry on. Step four. Add sugar, milk, cream, or flavored coffee creamer to your liking. Step five. Any questions? Good. Then enjoy. And that's in order. You're dismissed. And there's a little thing here, a little blurb here going. I use a coffee brewer, such as Mr. Coffee, with a programmable clock, so my Reveille coffee is ready for me at 0500. The smell of the coffee brewing acts as my alarm clock, and the coffee is ready and waiting for me before I head over to the barracks and get my privates moving. Get it?
That sounds like he's talking about his penis.
He's talking about his pooping, Jacqueline, because coffee makes you poop.
Oh. Cute. This is not a recipe.
What do you mean?
There's no amounts of anything. It's just, hey, you put these things together how you like it. It's just making coffee. Just don't bring Pauly Shore into this podcast or I will quit right now.
That's Rob Schneider.
They're the same.
Oh no, I don't know who should be offended more.
I think Rob Schneider. What do they call this? A specialty somewhere?
Yeah. Uh-huh. It's coffee with cinnamon in it.
Have you had coffee and never put a dash of cinnamon in it? That's it. It's all the taste.
I like putting a little bit of salt in mine, too. It takes away some of the bitterness.
That's why I like a good cold brew. That's actually how I did this. You know what I've been doing lately? I bought some chocolate cashew milk on your suggestion.
It's creamier than all.
It is. But I've been adding coffee to that, and it makes like this chocolate milk thing that gives you a bunch of energy, and it is so good. It's changed my mornings. I'm so much more productive for a little bit.
Yeah, I missed coffee these last few days. I usually drink it while I'm at work, and it's just great. It just keeps you going. Makes you happy. Yeah. I usually like... I mix it half decaf, half regular now, because I just prefer not to have that giant caffeine burst.
You know, you really have gone full dad.
I got all the dad hacks. I got all the dad hacks.
All the dads that I work with do that.
You can drink like more of it and not have to worry about, you know, going all crazy.
Yeah, that's what they say too.
So, Jacqueline, what do you rate coffee? Yeah, just not rate it. Let's not rate
3.75.
it. 3.75. I'll rate coffee a 4. Sergeant Slaughter is also one of the guys that have been around forever. I want to go ahead and say late 70s. I could be wrong. Could just be early 80s. He wasn't always in the WWE. Wasn't in the WWE until late 80s. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. And he was always a good guy. And he was also a pretty big draw. He was went around to different territories as a good guy. He was almost like a Hulk Hogan type, where people just like wanted to root for him because he was this all-American drill sergeant guy. And he was a pretty good wrestler. You might not know him until he got a little bit older, and it was kind of what was his most money-making storyline in the 90s during the Gulf War, when he turned on Hulk Hogan and joined the side of the Iron Sheik.
Iron Sheik. Yeah, I remember that.
And he had the curled up boots with the toe boots. Yeah.
Those were fabulous. It was really weird on a man that size.
And he went super anti-American. It was weird, but it made a lot of money for him and the company.
But they still do that like Russia versus America thing.
A little bit, yeah.
To this day.
Sure.
Like or what's his face? Lana's husband.
Rusev, he's Bulgarian. As a little Brad, I knew Sergeant Slaughter because I used to watch G.I. Joe.
G.I.
And he was on G.I. Joe as a character, and he also did little segments and things on that show.
In the cartoon?
In the cartoon show. He'd show up. He was in the movie. He was B.A. Mm-hmm.
Wait, which movie?
The G.I. Joe, the movie.
With Rihanna?
No, that's the cartoon one that came out in the 90s or 80s.
You make me sick.
I don't even think that was G.I. Joe. I think that was Battleship.
You're correct.
This is for Falcon. This is for me. This is for Duke. And this is for the U.S. of A!
Yeah, he still works as like a backstage guy in the company. I don't know what his job is, actually. His last match was, I'm going to say, 2009 or 10. It was at a WrestleMania. It was Roddy Piper, Sergeant Slaughter, and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat versus Chris Jericho.
Come on, that's so great.
Chris Jericho ended up pinning Sergeant Slaughter and Piper like super fast, and then went on to have like a pretty dang good match against Ricky Steamboat for like 10 to 15 minutes. It was awesome. It was amazing because Jericho was just like full nasty heel guy. He was just a jerk picking on these three old timers, yeah. But all I can think of, like, Sergeant Slaughter, he's a little bit of an iconic guy at the time. I'm sure his character has waned over the last few years, not as popular. If G.I. Joe isn't popular, I mean, that's when he was at his height. And he just kind of just made a bunch of money and just walked off into the sunset, I feel.
I don't know how to segue into this recipe, but we're going to talk about the recipe now.
Dive right into this dip.
Okay, Sergeant Slaughter's Mess Hall Dip. And I don't have to do it in a voice because this is JR writing about it.
Later you might have to.
We'll see. To his longtime pals, Sarge is known as much for his mess hall dip as he is for his prominent chin. Sarge and I used to share a room with two beds, I should add, in the luxurious Belmont Motor Inn in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, early in our careers. The hotel was cheap, $8 a night, which we split, and right down the street from the little Chinese restaurant the wrestlers frequented a couple days a week. He introduced me to sweet and sour chicken, and after a sake or two, Sarge could damn near balance an entire egg roll on his chin. None of that has anything to do with this recipe.
Yeah, it seemed like JR just wanted to write about Sergeant Slaughter.
So, the ingredients are 4 tablespoons or half a stick of garlic butter, 2.5 to 3 pounds of ground sirloin, salt to taste, pepper to taste, 3 10.5-ounce cans of Hormel no bean chili. That is all meat. 2 8-ounce packages of cream cheese or reduced fat cream cheese, 3 cups of shredded mild cheddar cheese, 12 ounces of sour cream, or more if desired, and black olives, optional. At 10, hut! Okay, at ease and listen up. Step 1, in a large frying pan, melt the garlic butter over medium-low heat. Add the ground sirloin and brown it thoroughly, adding salt and pepper to your liking. Take the pan off the heat and drain the grease from it, then put it back on the stove and drop down and give me 20. Which, for the record, I did. I did that, and then I did 20 push-ups. Step 2, now snap back up to your feet and stir the chili into the ground sirloin over medium heat. Add the cream cheese and stir. Have I made myself clear? Good, then carry on. Add the shredded cheese to the sirloin mixture, stirring until melted. If the cheeses aren't melting fast enough, turn up the heat, maggot, but keep stirring so it doesn't scorch. Step 3. While you're waiting for everything to cook, ask yourself, have I ever dug a foxhole? Good. How deep? When all the cheese is melted, empty the mixture into a large bowl and smooth it with a spoon. Let it set for 10 to 12 minutes so that the top of the dip hardens. Step 4. Spread the sour cream after 10 to 12 minutes, remember, over the top of the dip with a spoon. You could decorate the sour cream with black olives. I usually spell out mess hall dip on mine. Step 5, serve with tortilla chips or corn chips. I like to use round white corn chips, not too salty. Enjoy, and that's an order. I have a secret recipe for slaughter steak, too, but if I gave that out, I'd have to use the slaughter cannon and the cobra clutch on you. I'll let you live with the mess hall dip. Any questions? Good. You are dismissed. See you at the obstacle course. At ease. Serves a platoon. Also says the Sarge drew from his military background for this recipe, a good way to kick off any mission you and your troops embark on. I wish the rest of this book was themed. Like, these recipes are, like, themed and in character. This is the only one so far who has done this. Brad, what do you think of Sergeant Slaughter's mess all dip?
So, my mom used to make a very similar dip to this. And it's almost like the exact same thing, except you don't use the ground sirloin, because if you're using cans of meat that already have meat in it, then you're already got enough meat to go around. So, seems a little redundant to do the ground sirloin, but, you know, to each their own. It's very meaty, and I half the recipe, first of all, because it's just too much food.
It's too much meat. It's so expensive.
And it made a dip. It made a really cheap grocery store dip that you can cook up in the oven, bring to a party, and call it a day.
This is how you get gout. Eating stuff like this. This is nothing but dairy and butter and meat, and that's it.
I think I had maybe 3 chips full of the dip, and then I saved it the rest of it, and I'll have to eat it sparingly throughout the week.
I threw it
out. Oh, but you used a lot of vegan alternatives. What did you use, Jacqueline?
I made the whole thing vegan because I didn't want to buy this much meat. I didn't want to buy any of this meat. I used garlic salt and vegan butter. I used this thing. It was by the Tofurky brand. I don't know what it is. It's like soy and beet juice.
Mm-hmm.
Fake meat in place of the ground sirloin. I thirded this recipe.
Yeah.
So, probably. I used just a can of vegetarian chili that had beans in it because I don't want to eat. I don't want it.
You don't want a can of meat, Jacqueline?
What is the point of this?
No. There's a can of the Hormel chili that has turkey in it. It's like 98% fat-free. That's the one I bought.
I saw that, but I figured if I was already fake meeting the sirloin, I might as well go all the way with this and see how it turns out.
Yeah.
I did vegan cream cheese, which is like a coconut-based vegan cream cheese situation, and I used Daiya. And I use that.
It sounds like you should have made just like a cupcake pan's worth of dip is what you should have done. Maybe
that is what I should have done, but I don't know how to make those proportions. I did use black olives.
I saw you that. Saw those look nice.
They did. You saw the picture and made me laugh so much.
What did I say? I said it looks like those black olives are drowning.
Yeah, because vegan cream cheese is basically just like a thick yogurt. And I don't know. It was on a hot day. It was like 80 or something that day, so it didn't really like set how it should.
I'm gonna send you a photo of what mine looked like. And it doesn't taste as good as it looks, I'll say. But because I've seen this recipe so many times, and my mom had made it, it just kind of came easy to me. And I put it together, and it's not the best.
It's not good.
The sour cream is a new addition to me. I never had that before on this because it's already got the cream cheese and the cheddar cheese on there, and I never heard of cooking the meat. Making some meat with it, but
no, because you're using all meat chili or no bean chili, which is just meat and tomato juice.
I got the bean chili. I got the turkey with bean can of Hormel chili.
That probably made it taste a lot better than it would have.
Yes, because it has beans in it. It has more texture. It's not just like a weird liquidy mess with meat chunks.
Did you use tortilla chips?
I did.
Corn chips.
I also topped it with salsa. And I sprinkled dried cilantro on it.
Oh, that's probably, you made it probably a lot better.
Yeah.
I stuck right to the book this week.
You really did. I'm very impressed. You even did the push-ups.
I did do the push-ups.
did you ask yourself, have you ever dug a foxhole? As in step 3 of this recipe?
I don't know what a foxhole is, but my brother and I got bored one day and dug a 9-foot hole in the backyard. So I dug a hole.
That story is legendary and will follow you to your grave, Jacqueline.
Because I bring it up all the time.
You're very proud of it.
That's a deep hole, though. I needed a ladder to get out.
I'm surprised you didn't hit, like, a gas thing or, there's a lot of stuff under the ground you could hit.
As an adult, I realized this. As an adult,
there's, like, cable lines and all sorts of stuff down there. Sewage system. Could have dug right to the sewer.
I didn't grow up with cable, so this is what we did in the olden days.
Of 1996.
It was probably like 2000 when I did this.
Oh, boy. No. Well, Jacqueline, hit me up with what you think I should give this recipe.
Hey, Brad.
Yeah.
What do you give Sergeant Slaughter's Mess Hall Dip?
2 stars.
I give Sergeant Slaughter's Mess Hall Dip 0.5 stars.
Not buried alive. And I will admit there might be some nostalgia that's leading my score into being better than it is, but
kept him out of the hole.
Kept him out of that foxhole.
Wait, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
It mentions Cobra Clutch. Is that because of Cobra Commander? Is that why his move is called the Cobra Clutch?
I would have to imagine.
I'm going to bump it up another quarter of a star for that. 0.75 stars.
The Cobra Clutch is a camel clutch, but he called it. Oh, no, it's actually totally different. It's more like the Million Dollar Dream. It actually might have existed before Cobra Commander, but he still used it in because of the G.I. Joe tie.
And that's all we have for this week, listeners.
Do an outro, Jacqueline. I'll let you take the reins today.
Oh, boy. Please rate us 5 stars on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts. If you would like to support us monetarily, why don't you go to patreon.com/topropechef? Check it out. There's different tiers, different prizes you can get. Also, leave us a comment on Facebook at Top Rope Chef. Check out our Instagram. Go to our Twitter. We really, really would like some emails. Why don't you just tell us that you listen to our show? Or just send us a blank email. Just email us, please. topropechef@gmail.com. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.